As I have already mentioned to you in the bulletin this morning, this is a brand new series, and it will go over a period of weeks. You'll see what we'll do with it. Let me start this way. There are three psalms which are referred to as shepherd psalms. I'm referring to Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24. I'm going to give you the overview this morning. These psalms form what is referred to as a trilogy. The word trilogy, tri, means three, logos, means word or discourse. These three psalms are a group of three discourses, all of which have one central character and one common theme. In these three psalms, the common character, or the central character, is of course the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd. And the theme of these three psalms is Jesus Christ in his shepherding ministry. So that's what a trilogy is all about. Now, I want you to turn this morning to Psalm 22, 23, 24. Turn to that part of your Bible. And if you want to take notes, if you write in your Bible, or if you just want to write it down on a piece of paper, I think it will help you to get this into your mind about these shepherd psalms. In the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ is presented to us in three different ways as a shepherd. I'm going to correspond these to the shepherd psalms. For example, the Lord Jesus is referred to in the New Testament as the Good Shepherd. He is referred to as the Great Shepherd and the Chief Shepherd. Psalm 22. When we study Psalm 22 together, you're going to find out that this is about the Good Shepherd who was crucified for the sheep. So Psalm 22 is a prophetic passage about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. There are more details in Psalm 22 about the crucifixion of Christ than any other chapter, probably in the Old Testament. So Psalm 22, I have in my Bible over Psalm 22, the Good Shepherd is crucified for the sheep. Because remember, Jesus said in John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So the good shepherd is the one who is crucified for the sheep. That's Psalm 22. And then Psalm 23. Listen to what the Scripture says in the book of Hebrews about the Lord Jesus Christ being the great shepherd. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. The great shepherd cares for the sheep. That's Psalm 23. So you have Psalm 22. The good shepherd is crucified for the sheep. Psalm 23. The great shepherd cares for the sheep. Now listen to another verse in the New Testament. In 1 Peter 5:4 it says, and when the chief shepherd, so he's referred to as the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd in the New Testament. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you will receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And would you believe that the theme of Psalm 24 is the return of the Lord? You see how these Psalms are a trilogy? The Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd, Psalm 22, Psalm 23, Psalm 24. Psalm 22, the Good Shepherd is crucified for the sheep. 23, the Great Shepherd cares for the sheep. And the Chief Shepherd comes for the sheep, Psalm 24. So this is the outline of what we're going to study together. As I said this morning, we're not going to go into great detail about any of these psalms. I'm going to go back and preach sermons on each of them over the next month or so. Now, let me paint the landscape for you. I'm a visual kind of person. It makes it easier for me if I can see it visually portrayed. Psalm 22, Psalm 23, Psalm 24. See, he's crucified for us, he cares for us, and then he comes for us. Did you ever look out in the distance, if you've ever gone up north, up toward the Carolinas or whatever, and you see the mountains out in the distance? When I look in the distance at those mountains, sometimes I'll see a mountain, and it looks like there's a mountain right up against it. Two of them right together. Until I get to the first mountain. And then, oh my goodness, there's a long valley in between those two mountains. From a distance, they looked like they were right together. But when you get there, you find out there's a distance between the first mountain and the second mountain. Psalm 22 is the crucifixion of Christ. He was crucified at Mount Calvary. I'm going to skip Psalm 23. Psalm 24 is the coming of Christ. When Jesus Christ returns to this earth, he returns, the Bible says, to the Mount of Olives. When I look at those two, and when the Old Testament people, and we'll study this later, I'll show you a verse on this. When the Old Testament people read through the Old Testament and saw the prophecies of the coming Messiah, they had two main pictures of him. He's suffering. He's dying. But these passages say, he's coming in great glory. How can that be? Well, they were looking from the distance at the two mountains. They could see Mount Calvary coming. And they could see what looked like right next to it, the Mount of Olives, where he comes back the second time. What they did not see was the valley of the shadow of death in between his first and second comings. And that's where we're living today. We are living between Mount Calvary. We just sang about, we sang song after song about the fact that he came and died. But in those songs also, it would talk about the day he's going to come back for us. And he's going to reign and rule over this earth. So when you look at these three psalms, see Mount Calvary. See the Mount of Olives. And see the valley in between. Where we are living today. He's crucified for us. He comes for us, but in between, he cares for us. Okay, let's begin at Psalm 22. The Good Shepherd is crucified for the sheep. In Psalm 22, it says, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Stop. Where have I heard that before? When we open up to Psalm 22, the psalmist, by inspiration of the Spirit of God, as he penned this psalm, He wrote for us the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as He hung on the cross. He said in that fourth statement, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" By the way, let us remember, at that particular moment, and I've heard people say this a different way, the Father turned His back on the sin that He hated, not the Son He loved. He sent His Son here to die on that cross to pay for your sins and mine so that someday I will have an entrance into heaven and so will you. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? When you read through Psalm 22, somebody's dying. All through the psalm, it depicts the death of someone. Ah, but it's not a sick man in bed about to die. It is not a soldier. When you read Psalm 22, everything we read in that psalm depicts for us crucifixion. But listen, keep something in mind. The Babylonians, for capital punishment, they burned people. Remember the three in the fiery furnace? That was capital punishment in that day. The Persians hung people on gallows. Remember Haman? The Jews took a person and they picked up stones and they stoned them to death for capital punishment. But it was the Romans who would crucify people as a means of capital punishment. Oh my. This psalm was written 1,000 years before Jesus Christ ever came to this earth and was crucified on a Roman cross. And yet, long before death by crucifixion became an institution, Jesus Christ is portrayed in Psalm 22 as hanging on a cross, a prophecy of the crucifixion of the Messiah. And crucifixion was unknown until those Roman days. That's why I say this is an astounding prophecy about Jesus Christ and His crucifixion. If I was to witness to somebody who didn't believe the Bible, I would turn to this Psalm 22 and begin to read some of the verses. And I'll bet you, the person could say to me, if I said, "Do you know what that's about?" They would say, "Well, you're probably reading about Jesus being crucified on the cross." Yes, I am. And this was written 1,000 years before He ever came to this earth. Prophecy. The crucifixion. This is the most quoted psalm by the New Testament. You could study this psalm by walking your way through the New Testament passages that refer back to Psalm 22. So Psalm 22, by the way, let me give you a little illustration here. We'll go into detail at a different time. Listen to the crucifixion. Look at verses 16 through 18. "For dogs have surrounded me." Now, who is speaking? Christ. Hanging on the cross. Jesus Christ is hanging there, and as He looks at all of the people around Him who have put Him on that cross, He says they act like dogs, not little cute pets. These are scavenger dogs that were vicious, grisly dogs. So when He looks down from the cross, He sees all of these people who have put Him on that cross, and yet He is there dying for the very sins of the people who placed Him on the cross. Now remember, your sins and my sins put Him there too. I was not physically there, But spiritually speaking, I was there because he died for me and for you. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. You would think you were reading the New Testament account of the crucifixion. What did he just say? They have pierced my hands and my feet. They're not burning me like the Babylonians. They're not hanging me like the Persians. They're not stoning me like the Jews. They're someday going to crucify me, and they're going to put nails through my hands and through my feet. And so Jesus, in Psalm 22, is talking to us 1,000 years before it ever happened of what exactly he would go through. They pierced my hands and my feet. Oh my, when he looks down from the cross, he looks at his body. He says, I can count all my bones. He was a living skeleton hanging on the cross. I probably have mentioned this. I mentioned it many, many times. No artist would paint the crucifixion as the Bible describes it, because you wouldn't buy the picture and hang it in your house if you saw what he really looked like on that cross. And Jesus says in Psalm 22, when I look down at my body, I was like a living skeleton. I could see my bones. And then he says, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Oh my. That's the men who gambled for his clothes as he hung there in disgrace. He looks down and he sees them gambling for his clothes. This is not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is recorded there. This is 1,000 years before he ever came. It says they'll gamble for his clothes. I'll bet you none of those men had ever read the Bible, because they were fulfilling Scripture, whether they realized it or not. And I suggest to you, they were not gambling for his clothes. They were gambling with their souls. Psalm 22. The crucifixion of our Lord, the Good Shepherd. Now, on purpose, I'm going to skip Psalm 23. Let's move from Mount Calvary to the Mount of Olives. Psalm 24. Over Psalm 24, I have written in my Bible, the chief shepherd comes for the sheep. Psalm 24 may be viewed in two ways, historically and prophetically. But both of the events have to do with the return of Christ, God returning, coming in through the eastern gate, and the first thing is to the temple. So it discusses in Psalm 24 the return of Christ. Just briefly, historically, this psalm describes the excitement of the return of the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem to be placed back in the temple. The Ark of the Covenant symbolizes the presence of God. This is God returning to Jerusalem. But it prophetically speaks of Jesus Christ. If you have Psalm 24 in front of you, look at verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. So what does this say? This is a vivid description of the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. Now, I know there is a coming where He's going to receive His church, but this is His second coming. Listen to what other prophecies say about the second coming of our Lord. In Matthew, first of all, in Matthew 24, it talks about the tribulation of those days. The sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the heavens, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the Bible says, Jesus was speaking. He said, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. I will appear, He says. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn when they see Me. I always wondered about that till I realized that's because they don't believe in Him and they don't think He's coming back. But He says, I will. And they will be shocked to see Me. And He says, and then you will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Listen to Zechariah. Zechariah says the day of the Lord is coming. All the nations will be gathered around at Jerusalem. And the Lord will go forth to fight against those nations. And in that day, His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem toward the east. And when His feet touch the Mount of Olives, it will split in two. What a powerful, glorious return of Christ. That's why Psalm 24 says, O gates, lift up your doors, for the King of Glory is coming. That's the return of Christ, Psalm 24. So Psalm 22, the good shepherd is crucified for us. That's Mount Calvary. Psalm 24, the chief shepherd comes for us. That's the second coming of Christ to this earth. And now finally, Psalm 23, the valley in between. This is where we're living today. Between His first and second comings. By the way, we don't live on the mountaintop. We serve the Lord in the valley. Do you know why? Because that's where the people are. Look at verse 4 of Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me, Your rod and staff comfort me. That's where we live today. Between the first and second comings, we live in the valley of the shadow of death. Every person in this room, I can assure you, has been touched by the shadow of death. Your mom's gone. Your dad's gone. Your spouse is gone. Some friend is gone. And they've gone to the other side. Because that's where we're living today in Psalm 23. Oh, but Lord, thank You. Thank You for something. I need Psalm 23. Do you know why? Because even though we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't need to be afraid, the Lord says. Though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, this verse says the Lord is close beside us, guarding and guiding us all the way. Oh, keep in mind something. This is often missed. Did you know that Psalm 23 is written from the viewpoint of the sheep? It's the sheep talking. We read that psalm, we get too used to it. I think sometimes we get too used to the Scripture. I don't mean that. I mean, you know how I mean that. When I read Psalm 23, it starts this way. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's the sheep talking to the shepherd. You're my shepherd, the sheep says. And because you are, I don't have any want. By the way, the Lord is my shepherd. It's a participle. The Lord is continuing to shepherd me, and because He is, He'll take care of everything I need. It's from the viewpoint of the sheep. You know, a lot of people know the shepherd as the Savior. But did you notice what the sheep said? The Lord is my shepherd. He didn't say the Lord is my Savior. He is our Savior, and He is the sheep's Savior. But that's not what He's talking about. What He's talking about is, while I walk through the valley of the shadow of death on this earth, the Lord shepherds me and takes care of me. As I close, I wanted to share this just by way of testimony. Back in November, I was at the Cove. I was not speaking, but I was there to hear a very good friend of mine, Joe Stoll. And Joe is the president of Cornerstone University. And Joe spoke at that conference. I was with another pastor and his wife. He had been one of my interns. He now pastors in Sebring. So we went up to the conference. And I will tell you, I was kidding Greg Mann, he and Wendy are here this morning, and he said, I'm anxious to hear you preach. I said, well, Greg, I tell you, you know, every time I go hear some guy preach, I always catch the preacher ahead of time and say, hey, listen, I came to hear you preach this morning, but I didn't come here to get under conviction. You know, I came to enjoy it. Okay. Well, anyway, but we were up at the Cove, and you know what? I went there to enjoy it. Honestly, I just wanted an escape for a while because I've had a very busy schedule over the 6 months, as you know, preaching in churches and conferences. And so I went up there, and Joe Stoll began to teach. And the first day, it kind of warmed my heart, and it was a familiar passage of Scripture he went through. But he was talking about how Jesus treated people. And the further he went, by the second day, I tried to disguise it a little bit. I felt like I was getting tears in my eyes as he was speaking. And I remember thinking to myself, okay, Lord, this is good for me. I need this. I need to hear what He's saying. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me up here to the Cove to hear this man of God speak to me. By the third day, at the last session, I was crying. And I went and talked to Joe about it and had a good fellowship with him. So we had to go back to the room after that session and pack up our stuff and head back to the airport. And I said to this other preacher, and I was standing there talking, the fellow who went with me, I said, I don't really want to leave, do you? He goes, no, I really don't. He said, I'll tell you, the fellowship up here at the Cove is so wonderful and sweet. All these Christian people. Wasn't that a great series? And just to be with the Lord's people and to hear the Word of God, I said, yeah, I wish I could stay. And then I said to this preacher, I said, you know what? I'm not critical of Peter anymore. And he looked at me and he went, I understand what you're talking about. Because do you remember what Peter said when he was up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, when Jesus was transfigured before him and they saw His glory shining through His humanity? Peter said, Lord, could we just pitch some tents here and let's just stay here? And Jesus, oh no, you can't stay on the mountaintop. We need mountaintop experiences. But we have to come down off of the mountaintop, down into the valley of the shadow of death. Why? Because that's where the people are that need us. That's why you do what you do. And then I said to myself, a good shepherd meets the sheep where they are, not where they should be. A personal word from my heart to yours. I will try as best I can as your interim pastor to meet you where you are. I will not say this is where you should be. I'll let the good, great chief shepherd lead you and teach you to be where you should be. Our Father, thank you for this word, from your word. Lord, we pray, if there's anybody here who doesn't know you as personal Savior, may they seek us out today and say, you know, you've talked about going to heaven. How can I know for sure? May they understand, as you said, Lord, you came into this world to die for us, that we might have everlasting life. So we pray that all of us here have made that decision. We know where we're going when we die. But then, Lord, for the rest of us, would you help us to allow you to shepherd us? We know you as our Savior, but do we really follow you as our shepherd? Oh God, help us to remember we can't stay on the mountaintop. We have to go down in the valley where the people are that you're trying to reach. So may every person here be willing to go back after having been here at church, and it's a mountaintop experience for us this week, to reach out to that soul that is closest to hell, and that Christian who needs a touch of your love and grace. And we will thank you for what you do, in Jesus' name. Amen.